I recently took a quiz that a friend of mine had created on Facebook. It was one of those how well do you know your friends quizzes. And one of her questions was, which of the following statements is not a personal motto of mine? And one of her statements was, hold the popular opinion. Now, my friend does anything but ascribe to the popular opinion. In fact, if there's a popular opinion, she usually runs screaming in the other direction. So I thought, well, of course this is the one. Hold the popular opinion? No way she doesn't hold to the popular opinion. And I clicked that, and I got it wrong. I'm a little bitter about that. I want to recount. So I think it was unfair, and I think it was sneaky, and here's why. Hold means more than one thing. And so what she meant when she wrote the quiz was hold the popular opinion as in withhold the popular opinion, or hold back the popular opinion, you know, like hold the pickles, or hey, hold the sarcasm. And I thought she meant hold to the popular opinion, ascribe to the popular opinion, yes, please. And so because this simple, ordinary word could mean more than one thing, I got very confused, and I got a very low score on her quiz. Well, Nicodemus has the same problem. Not with a Facebook quiz, but close enough. Nicodemus has the same problem because Jesus uses a word with him that can mean more than one thing. Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus says, okay, you know, we get that you're a teacher. Now, what do we need to do to see the kingdom? And Jesus says, in order to see the kingdom, you must be born anothen, which can mean again or from above. So Nicodemus takes that first meaning, and he says, well, come on now. And he doesn't even take it, you know, kind of metaphorically, like you need to become a new creature or you need to be born again spiritually. Oh, no, no, he takes it literally at its word. How in the world can a grown person be born again? You're going to enter back into your mother's womb somehow? You're too big. You're not going to fit. I mean, this is ridiculous. Not that there aren't parents who wish sometimes. They're like, oh, man, can we put these back where they came from? You can't do that. You can't be born again. And Jesus says, no. You have to be born from above. You have to be born of the Spirit. I mean the other way, that other use of the word. You have to be born from the top to the bottom. You have to be born from God to us. It's a God thing, you see. This stuff, this new life, this transformation, this becoming a child of God, only the Spirit can do that. Only God can do that. This is not about something that you do, whether or not you're trying to be born physically again or trying to be born spiritually again. It's not first and foremost something that you do. It's something that God does. It comes from God. It comes from above, from the top to the bottom. Anothen. It's a God thing. And we fool ourselves into thinking maybe that it's all about what we do, and it does require our response. But it is first about God loving the world. The world. About God giving that love and that blessing and that grace to humanity. John Wesley calls this prevenient grace. Wesley thinks there are three kinds of grace. The first is prevenient, which comes before we respond, before we even know about it. Before we have a chance to say thanks or no thanks, before we have a chance to even have a conception of God, it's that first impulse, that first love, God to us, from the top to the bottom, from above, God's love for the world. It's a God thing. The author of the fourth gospel uses this word again at a very key place, and it comes here at the beginning, toward the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, and then again at the very, very end. The end of his earthly life, at the moment of Christ's death on the cross. In that moment, the author records that the curtain in the temple, that curtain that separated God's presence, the Holy of Holies, which Isaiah described in the Hebrew Bible passage we just heard, the presence of God in the world, in the center of the temple, divided from the world by a curtain. The curtain that separated forever God from humanity so that the two wouldn't get mixed up and humanity couldn't profane God or whatever it was. And so that curtain, that separation is torn. At the moment of Jesus' death, that curtain is torn anothen, from the top to the bottom, from above, from God to us. It's not something we did. It's not something somebody went into the temple and ripped it. It's not that Jesus' death is something humanity accomplished. It's not that salvation is something that we do. It comes from above. It's a God thing. Wesley would call that justifying grace. It's the grace in that moment on the cross, the grace in that moment when we do respond and say, yes, I believe. The grace that transforms and heals us, that begins in us a journey that was already begun with God. And that moment too happens not because of us, but because of God. That moment happens from above. Now there's a third kind of grace, and that Wesley called sanctifying grace. Yes. And that's the grace, just making sure, and that's the grace that carries us throughout the rest of the journey, that helps us move on in our faith journey and helps us develop as disciples, as Christians, as believers, as people trying to live the life that God has called us to live in this world. And that one's even more tricky because we really do want to say that that's about us and what we're doing to change ourselves and what we're doing to change the world around us. But even that grace, I believe, or perhaps especially that grace, comes from God as well. And today's a great example of that. Today is Peace with Justice Sunday. And Marie, thank you again today for sharing about justice or lack thereof, peace or lack thereof in our world. How pervasive violence and injustice are. This is not an easy thing. This mission, this call to work for peace and justice often is daunting, is overwhelming, precisely because throughout human history we've been really, really bad at peace and justice. We're really violent a lot of the time. We're really unjust a lot of the time. And so when we try to work for peace and justice, I feel like sometimes I get really overwhelmed. And I feel like, okay, so this Peace with Justice offering, you know, and I've got this envelope and I'm going to put, you know, $5 or $10 or $20 or however much I've got in this envelope. And then we'll gather it all together. And sometimes that feels to me, you know, like trying to gather cups of water to throw on a raging forest fire. You know, what are we really going to do to accomplish peace and justice? Is there something that we can really do? Are we going to change the world like that? Are we going to save the world? Are we going to act out this sanctification, this moving toward perfection in God's vision in the world? How are we supposed to do that? But see, that's the point. We're not. We respond. We participate because we are God's people. We are the body of Christ in the world. But that grace, that transformation that happens out in the world around us, that too comes from above. That's a God thing. We participate in it. We work for it. We pray for it. We give our effort, our energy, our money, our resources, our time, our hearts and souls to try to be the people God has called us to be and be part of God's transformation of the world. But it's God's transformation. And it seems tremendously slow, painfully slow to arrive. But it is from God, and it is not from us. It's a hard thing. I'd like it to be about us. I'd like all of it to be about us. I think we all sometimes want things to be about us. But Christ reminds Nicodemus, reminds us, the author of the gospel reminds us at the moment of crucifixion, and we're reminded any time we try to accomplish our stuff in the world without thinking about God's stuff in the world, we are constantly reminded that these things come from God. Whether we're talking about the transformation that happens when we are loved first by God, a nothen from above, from the top to the bottom, or the transformation that happens when we receive salvation, when we are changed, when we get it, when we are brought into that moment, in the moment of the cross, in the moment of our understanding of the cross, when the separation between God and us is torn, anothen, from the top to the bottom, from above. Or when we try to accomplish God's purposes in the world and we are reminded that we do not do so alone and we do not do so first and foremost as ourselves, but in response to God and to what God we believe is already doing in the world. Anothen, from the top to the bottom, from above. These transformations, transformations in ourselves, transformations in our spiritual lives, transformations in the world around us, it's a God thing. It comes from God. Amen.